Kilda in Australia and say hello and g'day, mate, to Morris. Morris Mislowski, how's it going?
Yeah, good, good.
Super.
Wonderful day here. It's 31.
Yeah, it's 18 here. You win. You promised us a bag of toys this week.
I did. So this is from the CES, Consumer Electronics Show, which finished up last Friday in Las Vegas in the United States of America.
Yeah.
It's the annual show, as we've said, annual show of all the possible new technology this year and for many years to come. It's where all of the people go to show off and try and get other people really excited about it.
The Gadget Fest, Morris. There's no two ways about it, is there?
Yeah, it is. It's been going since the 1960s. 135,000 people attended from 150 countries, 4,300 exhibitors, 1,400 startups, 1,000 speakers, all that kind of stats. Really big stuff. Atari 1979 was shown there, the CD in 1981. We can go on. It's a place where everything goes to be seen and hopefully bought up.
That is, okay, so you some biggies. That was when they were first seen, is it, by the public?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what CES is trying to do every year. They're trying to break out new technology. And that's one of the reasons I'm always interested in it, to see what's there, what's getting traction, what people are talking about, and what might be the next big thing. This year was really, as always, a mixed bag of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also a really interesting year because it's a little way away from COVID. Meaning that last year was still the legacy of COVID. Lots of new technology was kind of stuck in the pipeline. There was stuff to show, but nothing that was really brand new.
Yeah.
This year, there's been at least 18 months, 2 years of new stuff. So there was a whole lot of different energy at the show this year and some really interesting toys and some what were they thinking of toys.
Yeah, well, we did find that during COVID, there was a lot of bad news, no question, but it was incubator time for a lot of people, I reckon.
It absolutely was, but there wasn't much going on in the way of brand new technology because we were really worried about COVID and how we got over that. So we did lots of new and interesting stuff. We learnt lots of things. We changed really what it meant to be human. I think it is dramatic. But in terms of, you know, new technology being spent on fancy toys, you know, might be stuff, people were a bit reticent to do that for about 18 months or so.
Yeah.
And now that money's coming back into it.
So just a reminder, this is, okay, there's some pretty fancy stuff at this thing, but there's also some pretty useful stuff. So what do you got?
Oh, yeah, it goes the whole gamut, Phil. I mean, you can't go through, you know, all of that space of all the exhibition centres and think everything's gold. You literally are searching. It is absolutely a gold search. Out of the thousands and thousands of exhibitors, 4,300 exhibitors, you might be lucky if you find 10 or 20 that are at least mildly interesting. The others, that's not to put any of them down. It's just to say that, you know, the rest could be good, might be good, seen it before stuff.
Yeah, okay. Then, well, what did you like stuff?
Well, let's pull out some stuff that was different, because I think that's always the fascinating thing for me. There was a product which is the size of a mobile phone, and the inventors of it say that it will replace the mobile phone.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Rabbit, and it's referred to as R1, so letter R, number one. It is a gadget which is built specifically, and this is one of the big trends this year that we're going to see more of from now on, 100%. These were built specifically for artificial intelligence.
Okay.
They're not built for anything else. So this is the first new set of hardware specifically built. What this little gadget does is it allows you to talk to it and it to talk to you, but there's no interface in the way of a mobile phone. So you say to it, look, I want to get to Phil's studio. It knows where you are and it automatically does what it needs to do to get you there. Looks up a map, it might call an Uber for you, whatever else you need. But it does it all in the background. You're not opening apps everywhere. You're not opening websites. You're not thinking about what you need to do. You've given it an instruction and it's gone behind the scenes and it's put it together and brought it back for you in a split second.
Is removing these functions a good idea?
Don't know. We have to decide as a human race if we wanted to, but lots of people, me especially, maybe just me, I'm sometimes really lazy. Sometimes it's just nice to get things done. And in an office environment where you ask it to find you a file, for instance, I mean, I've given you the outside one, but the inside one is, you know, where's the picture of when Phil and I were together? Okay. Or find me the file which has this in it. Or in your case, you know, can you play me the music of? But you don't need to open up any of the apps you normally do. It'll actually go and find it for you and do it for you immediately. So it's kind of an intermediary.
Right.
I actually think something like this will take off. It's very cheap. It's $199 US. It's only available now as a prototype, but it's not terribly expensive. And if it does what's marked on the box, I think it'll find a market.
Okay, then. It's just another case of getting used to using something differently, isn't it?
It is, and that's the big thing. So not too much worried about what this thing is, the rabbit. I mean, it looks interesting, but it is, and there was only a few of them, but just the beginning of hardware specific built for artificial intelligence. We've never had that before. We've never needed it before. And I think the next year and the next few years, we'll see lots more of technology built from brand new, blue sky. Totally different from anything we've ever seen before, to take advantage of artificial intelligence.
Right. Well, you bring up a brilliant point. What becomes of what we now know as the phone, except it's not a phone really anymore, is it?
No. I mean, the anecdote for that is actually back in CES. CES is run by a company or an organization called CTA,
yeah.
Consumer Technology Association. It celebrated its 100th anniversary this year. And they run the CES and have since 1960s. What I think it's fascinating anecdote that answers your question is they started off as the American Radio Association in the 1920s.
That's crazy. That's a story in itself, goodness me.
Yeah, and that's what they told this year at CES. There was actually a tunnel that you walked through,
yeah.
And it gave the history of it. And they, from being the radio association, and these were the people who were just beginning to build radio sets. Yeah, it was just at the beginning of it, not much radio being played yet. And they then morphed into become something else, which became something else, which in the 60s became something else, and then in the 70s became more of this technology focus, much broader. And I think that answers your question, that who would want a radio association, but look what they've done to evolve themselves over the years.
Yeah, what a fascinating story. I wonder what you talk about the 1960s, you don't happen to know what the first massive thing was that they unveiled?
I don't know what the first thing was, no. But I know that very early in the piece it was videos.
Ah.
So the video recorder was kind of what put CES on the map, and I think that was late 60s from memories, not the very first show.
Yeah.
But that was the piece of technology that most people, the vast majority of the world, had never seen before.
You bet.
The ability to be able to capture something that you were watching on the television and play it back at a later time that you wanted to do it was revolutionary in its day.
I mean, I guess this existed before, but it was a typical thing where it was industry only, was it?
Yeah, and this show is industry only as well. So it certainly existed, but it existed in the TV studios. Remember in the 60s, if I'm not wrong, TV studios were still, well, they were editing by hand, which meant they were literally taking film on tape and they were splicing it together. And they were still, especially in Australia, they were still sending it to Australia by plane.
Yeah, well, what other choice was there?
But there wasn't, and that was incredible. You can still watch the newsreels where they boast about the fact that 3 days ago this happened in America and we're now able to show this to you.
I mean, that was incredible then, as daft as it sounds now.
It was phenomenal. The fact we could put it on the fact that we could take the movie, we could capture it, we could put it on a jet plane in the 60s was extraordinary. And the fact, again, that they could show it and broadcast in Australia, all new technologies. And that speaks to the way we evolve. Nowadays, literally, if we're, if we haven't got our movie in 1 second, we begin to think something's wrong.
Yeah, we complain about the latency or whatever. So last week...
And they measure it in nanoseconds, literally, the latency.
Last week you talked about the fact that vehicles tend to feature at this show.
Yeah, they do, and they always do. Most of that, well, I shouldn't say that. It's actually not true. The last 4 years, 5 years, we've had the vehicle manufacturers come back, and they now have their own pavilion. You've got Mercedes-Benz, you've got BMW, you've got all of the electric car vehicles, most of the big brands, many of them we don't have in Australia or Hong Kong either.
Yeah.
But they talk about and they show their concept cars and also the cars that they're going to bring out in the next year or two.
What? Kind of areas are we looking at? We did discuss last week again, autonomous is the obvious thing to talk about, but there's tons of other stuff. So what do you reckon?
Yeah, there are. This year I actually came across an award that I've not heard of before, and that's the award for the worst technology.
Go on.
And it's been going on for years, and I'm really disappointed I hadn't known about it before. And one of the technologies that they picked out as being one of the worst was a piece of technology brought out by BMW.
Okay.
Now, the technology itself, they think, is actually quite useful, and that, to answer your question, is artificial intelligence, ChatGPT type stuff, where you talk to the car and it talks to you and does all kinds of things. What they were wondering was how useful this is going to be when you get into an argument with your motor vehicle when you're driving.
Ah.
You know, so you're asking the car to do something. At the moment, we're talking about technology that's new, and of course, in 10 years, this may not be true. But right now, it's probably going to come back with some piece of garbage that you're going to yell at it about, and it's going to take your attention away from the car. And so that's one of the things that they were talking about as being maybe perhaps not the best piece of technology.
Well, it's fairly well known or assumed that people having arguments and stuff in cars causes accidents, bizarrely.
Yeah, and the term for these, I love the terms. The award they give out is called brickbats.
Oh, yeah.
That's one cool. Word, brickbats. And so BMW won a brickbat.
Well, it's funny, but it's disastrous for them, surely.
Yeah, of what they're talking about with their partnership with Amazon Voice Alexa. Look, I think in principle it actually makes sense. The argument we have is it's application today,
right,
not in the long term. And they said many of these vehicles are actually not meant to be sold today. They're not even available. They are concepts of down the track. So we will see something like that. I'm fairly sure, you know, 5 to 10 years of technology will be really schmick and easy to use. Another one they took to task was Sennheiser.
Okay.
The German audio electronic maker, who brought out a piece of technology called Momentum True Wireless Headphones.
Oh, gosh. All right.
And they are normally known for bringing out pretty good headphones. In this case, they brought out a pair of earbuds literally last week for $300.
Yeah.
That Kyle Wiens, one of the judges for these awards, says that will take about a year for it to fail totally. So,
what is it about it?
He says there's 3 separate batteries internally in each one of the earbuds, and he claims it's almost impossible for 3 by 2, being one for each set of earbuds, for those 6 things to keep going for any length of time. One of them's bound to fail or more and not be replaceable or easily swapped out.
Yeah, I mean, and also people who are pros in this area would never use something like that because it can't fail on a gig.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the $300 mark, this is for the everyday use, I would assume. So there's some of the things. There was some interesting headphones I think you might be interested in. There's a technology called Auracast, AuraCast, Auracast.
Right.
What this one does, it's Bluetooth charging of headphones. At the moment, we're really comfortable with wireless headphones, so we can put on our headphones and we know there's no wire connecting us to our phone or whatever else.
Yeah.
What Auracast does is it allows you to pair up with other audio that might be in the room that you don't have a clear connection to. So, in other words, these are things not owned by you, but you might want to hear.
What?
Now, you're wondering why that might be useful, yeah? But if you're sitting at the airport waiting for your plane to take off and you've got your headphones on trying to relax for an hour or so, you can actually connect to the speakers in the hall and hear what's going through, so you never miss an announcement.
Okay.
If you're in a bar and you want to listen to the TV, you know, the bar's playing, again, you can just hook up to this using the Auracast technology and watch the TV on your own, on the headphones. The purpose, you know, I always love a medical twist in these.
Yeah, go on, yeah.
The thing for me that sticks out the most is the ability for people with hearing disability who have hearing aids to be able to plug into public events as they walk past them.
Is that what it's really for, do you think?
Sorry?
Is that what it's really for?
No, it was one of the sidelines. It really was more a matter of people are so accustomed to wearing the headphones, they're actually missing out on what's going around them. So even though some of the headphones allow you to hear the audio by the technology they have, they swap in and out.
Yep.
This one's saying that you can definitely hear whatever the environment is.
Well, okay.
And there's another one this is actually neural headphones.
Ah,
it reads your mind.
All right.
It's NAQI is the company, NAQI, Neural Earbuds. And what it allows you to do, we've talked about technology that allows you to read minds and then can control computers. We've seen it in wheelchairs and other things where people with limited mobility can maneuver a screen or something.
Yep.
This neural headphone that's readily available in about 2 months or so allows you to do exactly that. You can hook up to your PC, laptop. You can think the mouse around, think the pages, think typing, do all kinds of
interesting things. If that's as good as it seems on the tin.
I don't know if it is, but the technology is really schmick, you know, the connecting. I think that the absolute evolution of it, it must probably be a year or two away before it gets really good. But two really interesting pieces of headphones that work in different ways, both being things we necessarily haven't seen before.
I never knew you'd take me down that route today, but I'm glad you did, Morris. We're going to leave it there. Thank you. Tell us a few more bits and pieces next week that perhaps we can use in the home. We'll just kick off with that. In the meantime, have a good one, and thanks for joining us, eh?
A pleasure.
A pleasure. That's Morris, who's very schmick today.